The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Monday, the 8th of January. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Michael Davies Hughes. Good morning.
Happy New Year. Good morning.
Happy, 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 happy. Okay, I'm happy.
All right. Now that that's done, let's move
yes.
on.
Are you ready for your question?
Bring it on.
Yes. Do you want... Oh, wait a minute. I did that one already.
Oh, that's great. I mean, hopefully if I remembered it, you can repeat it.
This was a tennis one. You want golf or do you want boxing?
Let's go with golf.
All right. Why are golf assistants called caddies?
Hmm. Oh, a caddy. Well, I'd like to say it has something to do with, you know, Caddyshack, but I think the caddies came before Caddyshack.
Yes, they did.
Oh, my goodness. Caddy. Well, you know, I think a caddy is another term for caddy. I mean, or another definition of caddy is this kind of suitcase, container, spare, which when I think about carrying golf bags, they might carry the bags in a caddy, which is this accompaniment to the golfer itself. So maybe that's where the word comes from.
Okay. You're going to love how it starts out. In medieval France.
Golf isn't a French game.
The firstborn sons of nobility were known as the caput, or head, of the family, while the younger, less valuable boys were called captains, or little heads, and were often sent out to military to train as officers. In English, captains became cadets, which the Scots abbreviated to cads, or caddies.
Okay.
Meaning any useless street kid who could be hired for the day to carry around a bag of golf clubs.
Wow. I think some people would take exception to that, especially the caddies.
Yeah. It just depends on how many zeros and commas are on their paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think some of those guys do
fairly well.
Yeah. And a lot of them are very good golfers, too.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have their PGA card or I guess.
They do provide advice to the player, you know, the distance.
And
which
they play,
club to
they,
use
they play the and, rounds with the guys before the tournament start, too. Mm-hmm. So there's, yeah, they're not just like Caddyshack.
They're not just going after gophers.
I have a fun time.
Whack-a-mole.
I've been watching Carson and... Now, a little bit of Smothers Brothers also. It's funny seeing Rodney Dangerfield when he was of that era.
Hmm.
There's one of them that I saw last week that was, it was when they were promoting Caddyshack.
I see.
And it was the one where he pulls up and talks about the Ted Knight, his character's hat, being, you know, who would buy that, you know, off the mannequin? It's ugly, ugly, ugly. He turns around. And there he is wearing that hat. Oh. Some of that stuff is so cool. Do you guys, is there any way to inject humor into the classroom? There are some people that do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some people that, you know, they can't. They just can't. And others are, I think I'm probably more situational. If I had to do a stand-up, I would might as well just stand down. It's not going to work.
Mm.
But just kind of a give and take kind of a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does depend on the individual's personality and disposition. I mean, some people are just naturally more humorous, and you know, they can show that in the classroom. I think what you've got to be careful of is they say, you know, don't smile till Christmas, or, you know, don't.
Yeah,
that kind of.
Shanahan used that line too, and it's like,
I don't
what?
Know.
That's not.
And then you can ease up after that. I don't necessarily adhere to that. Nah. I don't think that's necessarily effective, because kids can see right through you and your personality. And I think you've got to be real, because if you expect them to be real, you need to demonstrate that as well.
Yeah,
you know?
If something's funny, laugh.
Well, and yeah. I think it makes you, you know, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that relationship is super important. And if they can see that you are human and you are relatable, being relatable to kids doesn't mean that they're your friend.
Yeah, you don't
right?
have to be their buddy, but
no,
just
but
somebody they can communicate
yes,
to.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so anytime you have the opportunity to inject humor in, I think is, you know, you got to try to take advantage of that. Especially with, I would say, I was a middle school teacher before I became an administrator. And if you don't have a sense of humor with middle school kids, you ain't going to make it.
You're on an island, yeah.
You're not going to make it. Oh, so, yeah, good times.
Yeah, well, and, yeah, I think it peels back and makes it real. I would think, though, that the one thing that you have to have a tough or a check off on is satire.
Yeah.
Because that, that's, while it could be funny for 95 of the 100 kids that are in front of you, those other five, they're not laughing too hard.
Yeah, satire, sarcasm, you know, because that can really turn into something negative or spark some, you know, some experience that a kid has had that hasn't been positive. So you have to use it judiciously, just like anything else.
Well, and pay attention to your audience, customers or students in this situation.
Absolutely.
But I would think that that's something that a good teacher's doing anyway, the nonverbal stuff. You put something on the board, you turn around and say, okay, who knows the answer to this? And you see hands going up and you see some eyes going down. Okay, now is the eye going down because they're afraid of public speaking or because they don't know the information?
No,
or because
they're afraid of getting it wrong because of what you might read.
Because there's something else, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do teachers get taught that stuff?
Well, it's grouped together with classroom management, right? How to manage a class. It's much more than discipline.
See, I've always thought management is managing rather than communicating.
Yeah, that's
communication. I know that they're connected. But.
For sure. I think the word is, you know, engagement. So how do you engage kids so that they stay switched on with you throughout the lesson, right? Because it's hard to get the attention and keep the attention of students, especially when there's so many distractions. Even if they don't have a physical distraction in the classroom, they just have so much going on in their brains that to help them stay focused and engaged, you have to have that relationship with them.
Kind of calm them down a little bit.
Yeah, and know each student, right? Just know what is going to bring them in. That's where it's really important, is to know your students.
Yeah. I would think in the high school or anywhere where you've got the rotation, the kids for a period and then coming and going, that's a little bit more challenging, you know, because you recognize the engaged. You recognize the ones that are producing. You probably recognize those that are the problem child of each class. And the others fill chairs, you know, unless you're doing something to reach out. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County Office of Ed. Teaching teachers, I would think, is there a profile test that prospective teachers take, either in teacher school or when they're on probation or whatever you guys call it, before they get tenure? That talks about whether they're people. You know, I would think that if you're not a people person, the teaching profession might not be where you want to go.
Yeah.
You know, you could be a consultant or an advisor and deal with two people or three people at a time. But when you got a classroom full, you know, that could be daunting or nerve-wracking or not fulfilling for the students.
You know, I have experienced teachers who I would think of as people persons, people who are not particularly effective in teaching. And conversely, I have observed teachers who you think, oh, I don't know if this person likes kids, but they're actually very effective. And when I say effective,
so it's not kids, it's people. Yeah. And they're able to communicate and bring that together.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's nurture versus nature. It is, and every student reacts differently. Like if you ask the classroom of 30 students, you know, what their viewpoint is of their teacher, you'd have 30
probably
different answers.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know? And so it's how do you connect with each student. But it's not just about the connection. It's also, what did they learn? What are they learning in your class?
Yeah, at the end of the day, was it worth time well spent?
Yeah. Yeah, because you can probably remember, like, what you consider tough teachers. Man, that teacher was tough. Well, I didn't necessarily like that teacher.
At that time, it looked tough. Looking back now, cakewalk compared to what we're dealing with today, right?
Right,
yeah.
right.
But yeah,
some of those tough teachers.
Held you accountable. There was engagement. And the topic was something that most times you had to learn. I'm thinking of Ellis Williamson and civics. Mm-hmm. He was the one that going in, you really weren't tickled that you got as the civics teacher. Mm-hmm. But at the end, it's like, why would you want anybody other than Ellis?
Yeah.
That was one of those. But yeah, they hold you accountable.
They hold you accountable. And that's important because as children, you know, children are like raccoons. They're very opportunistic, right? So if something feels comfortable and easy, it's like, oh, I'm enjoying this, you know? If something is hard and challenging and outside of your comfort zone, oh, I don't like this. But that's
there's
where
a feeling
you
of
learn,
accomplishment,
right?
though.
Yes, that's where the learning happens.
And the other, you know, there was mothers that I took at Eureka High that were coasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. So you don't have to study. You don't have to bust your chops. You get a B plus, A minus. Okay, fine. Takeaway?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely
check
nothing.
The box. Made it through that
class. Yeah, 5 units, and that's, you know, keep chugging along kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's part of, there are certain teachers that don't want to be confrontational, challenging kids, and others that understand the long term of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do teachers know their reputation amongst the kids?
Oh, I think so.
You're smiling like a Cheshire
cat.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, I kind of felt that I knew my reputation. I think so.
I would like to think that they did.
Yeah, you pick that up.
Yeah.
You definitely pick
it up. It may take a year or two before you start figuring it out.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's what, as an administrator, there's what teachers think that administrators want to see in a classroom and what administrators really want to see in the classroom. And to give you an example is that, you know, traditionally you think about, you know, if an administrator walks into the classroom, the students should be quietly working on whatever it is, nose, paying attention, you know, all that kind of stuff, rather than walking in and seeing all this conversation going
spirit
on
and discussion, spirited and
discussion,
yes.
All that. And that's what you want to see,
yeah.
Right? A quiet classroom doesn't mean that learning is happening.
No, it means they're bored.
Could be.
Or they're doing could homework be. That they could be doing at home instead of maximizing the opportunity.
Right.
Right. With the body.
The most effective teachers I have seen are the ones that have done the least amount of talking or even the least amount of instruction. If you think about instruction in the more traditional sense of that lecture, sage on the stage, it's what students are doing. You know, it's maximizing the amount of time that students are actually doing something as opposed to passively listening to you because you're the expert.
Yeah, right? The lecture thing. One of the... For me, it is going to seminars and workshops and conventions and all that kind of stuff. The most effective is a buddy of mine, and when he started it, and this was like mid-80s, he was not well-known, so he was kind of cutting his teeth, and he was a general sales manager of a group of stations in the upper Midwest. And I can remember going to one of his, and it's the only seminar of his that was not full. So it must have been one of Chris's first. And instead of up there pontificating, he had a handout, and the handout had blanks. So instead of focusing on writing down all the notes, you wrote down the key word in each one. That was the only time, and I probably saw him 20, 25 times after that, where the place wasn't SRO, standing room only.
Mm.
Because the engagement, and you're able to take away immediately usable information and notes, rather than going back to the room, either typing it up or trying to figure out what it was.
Right.
And there was laughter because the mind was engaged on a couple different levels. And I've always thought, okay, in a classroom setting, how cool would that have been?
Yeah, that's magic.
Because now you've got all elements of that kid involved, or adult if you're, you know, a little bit slower to learn than others. K-I-N-S. Yeah, you keep smiling, dude. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. So what are the challenges that are out there? Is it still recruitment and then getting performance in the classroom by the kids and by staff? Where are things right now?
Yeah, so let's maybe start with the staff side of things. I think that this is still, you know, kind of the artifacts of COVID. We're still kind of coming out of a teacher shortage, or we're in a teacher shortage. So we have to be creative, especially in a rural area like Humboldt County, to be able to recruit, you know, the best. It's tough for sure. So, yeah, teacher recruitment, although we are seeing more qualified applicants, at least at the Humboldt County Office of Education, that are coming in.
Oh, cool.
Which is a good sign. Yeah, definitely a good sign. And there are a variety of different, you know, recruiting strategies that are being used. I've looked at job postings from school districts that are offering, you know, some signing bonuses or some incentives. Or, you know, one of the things that we are engaged in is a teacher residency program, whereby individuals who are already working in schools, like classified staff, can have their fees for going to school to getting their teaching credential waived. And so
basically a scholarship.
Yeah, essentially. And then they in turn then have to, commit to providing service in that community.
Yeah, I think a lot of law enforcement agencies were doing mm-hmm. that some time ago before they had these wild and crazy signing bonuses.
Yeah.
That makes sense because they get to understand
for sure.
The community, and they're involved, and you have some certainty.
Growing your own, I'm a big believer in growing your own, and so if you have people who are already invested in the community, who already know they want to be here, but they may be struggling to take the next step, so they need that little, not only the shoulder tap and say, hey, have you thought about teaching, but rather, yeah, here's a way for you to be able to make this work for you.
Kind of a pull instead of a push.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how you can be supported in reaching that goal. And when you do, we'd love to have you with us. Right?
You will be with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all how you term it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
based on what you just signed, you will be with us.
Words matter.
Absolutely. Are there certain districts in Humboldt that are having or not having problems in attracting students or not students, pardon me, staff?
Staff. No, I think that everyone has struggled somewhat, honestly. I think that everyone struggled. and it's not necessarily a compensation thing. There are hard to fill positions, like, you know, special education teachers.
Yeah, that's been kind of ongoing for a long, long, long time.
It has, you know. And then some of the more specialized positions, like speech therapists, psychologists, occupational therapists, and now we even have physical therapists that are hired through schools. So yeah, you know, that
it's
role
come a long
is expanding.
Way from suck it up, buddy.
Yes.
Well, and most of us don't perceive those as being education employment.
No, traditionally they have.
You got a what?
Yeah.
And a who? Mm-hmm. And a where? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a school nurse, but she was like 4 or 5. I think she worked the entire Eureka City schools.
Yeah.
Not just Worthington is where I am in my head right now.
Right.
I'm just one school, but just kind of would rotate around based on, you know, is a kid sick or somebody get hurt? Boom, she goes over to that school.
Yeah. We're seeing more and more school-based mental health professionals as well. And so school-based social workers.
So are those psychologists, social workers, or the educators that kind of have taken a couple extra classes in those arenas?
No, I mean, you can go into school psychology, and you can go into a course in school psychology. Not a course, I should say. A program, right, to become a school psychologist. Same thing with school social work. But you also, you know, get your certification as with an MSW, for example, Master's in Social Work, right? And that enables you to also be a school social worker.
I thought that was marriage therapy. Sorry. You start with the M.
Yeah. That's MFT.
Yeah.
Marriage family therapist.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Three letters, starts with an M. Okay,
yeah,
I'm there.
Yeah, a lot of acronyms. So, yeah, so I think, like I said, we're starting to come out of the extreme gap that we've had in filling positions. But it's more of those specialized positions, hard to fill positions.
At the university level, does that information get shared from the faculty to the students that, you know, at this point, if you are, let's say, a psychologist, you could either go into school as an employee, you could go into school as a teacher of this stuff, or you could go into government, or you could go into the private sector. Are all of those shared, or when you do an outreach, are you getting, gee, I didn't know that I could be, and they just don't have any kind of understanding.
Yeah.
That is an opportunity for them to consider.
Sure. I don't know at the outset what kind of information is shared from the university, but certainly once a student has an interest in a particular emphasis, like school psychology, for example, I mean, we have strong relationships with the school psychology program at Cal Poly Humboldt. And so, you know, there are opportunities, for example, in school psychology for psychologist interns to come before they get their school psychology credential qualification. They can intern at the county office or in a school district and be a paid intern. So they have that experience. They're also getting some income from it. A
couple battle scars, so they have confirmation that that's what they want to do.
Yeah, and they have to do this work anyway, you know, as part of their certification. So if we can pay them to do the work,
that's probably a nice inducement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever get invited to show up to the classrooms in the educational arena at Humboldt, you know, the teaching track?
I mean, I have not been. I have, yeah. It's been about 5 years since I've actually been
before
in
you got
the classroom.
Title.
Yeah, this was when I was in districts.
See, I would think that they would want to have you and, I guess, Gary now instead of Fred, and bring the superintendents in and get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a potential employee, you kind of want to get a sense of what the management point of view is.
Yeah,
not business management degree, but education management.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what are the pressures that you guys deal with? What are you looking for in potential employees? What makes a good teacher from your perspective?
Right.
All those types of things that would be, I would think, just native curiosity you would want to know, let alone if that's the career track you want to take.
Yeah. I mean, we do have that opportunity with the administrative leadership program that they have, but it's a little different than for the teachers. So, you know, I might just invite myself, Brian.
or pop in.
Or make myself available.
And then you can whip your business card on them, kind of like what I was saying I might do in the business area.
Yeah.
Surprise,
yeah.
Here I am. I don't, wouldn't want to scare
however
the
it might
people.
Be helpful, you know. I mean, if it's something that can help students
Well,
understand.
Nothing else, you're close to where the hamburgers are. Get a lunch.
Or a salad.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Hey, you mentioned students. That second part of your question was about students and what's the challenges for students. They're still dealing with some of that post-COVID challenges, especially the younger ones that didn't have those social relational opportunities.
It really set the table differently, didn't it?
It did. It really did. We've talked about this before, Brian, but artificial intelligence has brought a whole different set of challenges for students and for staff, right?
Oh, can you imagine somebody messing around and it sounds like your mom?
Hmm.
And it's not. He's laughing. Winston's laughing. I'm dead serious. Yeah. There could be all kinds of challenges. Or let's say one of these artificial things looks like a president or a governor or a chief of police. Somebody's just doing it as a prank.
Yeah.
Oh, there's issues.
Definitely issues. And we see those, on a lesser scale, I guess, just in the classroom.
Probably shouldn't be making suggestions with the mic open.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not lead down
right, well,
the
let's,
wrong
let's
path.
Take a break then and we'll recover. It's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. Michael, you had indicated, and I think everybody's pretty comfortable with the concept now, two or three years, 4 years, whatever it is, since the COVID stuff started, that it's different. It just flat out is different. When you look in the classroom and you see the kids and you hear what's going on, how do you know what really is the case? Not one at a time.
Yeah,
but let's say in groups of 500, what is normal? What isn't normal? Can we get, where can we go? Where should we go? Mm-hmm. How do you make those determinations?
Well, there's the where can we go and the where should we go. And I think that the responsibility of us as educators for our students is we know that healthy social interaction is critical to being a productive and healthy citizen, right? And so we have to find ways of engaging students physically with one another in a shared space because they have plenty of time outside of the classroom setting to be by themselves on the phone, whether it be communicating with their friends on these social media platforms, whatever it might be.
You know how weird that sounds? Be by themselves but talking to communicating with
their
friends.
But you know that's what's happening.
I know.
That's my own house.
And that's how it plays. You're by yourself, but you're saying, no, you're not, but you are.
Yeah.
That dichotomy.
Right. But it's a different part of the brain that's engaged, right, when you're actually physically with somebody else. And so we have this wonderful opportunity because students have to be at school. I mean, you can take independent study, yes, but students have to be in school. Let's capitalize on that and make sure that students have this opportunity to engage with one another. That's why we talked about, what a waste it is for a teacher to be lecturing the whole time for students, right? And then being passively just taking it in. Let's capitalize on that time from bell to bell where students are actually engaged with
emotionally
one another.
There.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the charge, I think, that we have, and that's the opportunity that we have. And I think that COVID has taught us that social isolation, physical social isolation, I know there are ways of mitigating that through Zoom and other platforms, but there is something very human about being in one another's company.
When you're talking with teachers about that, do you have different receptivity based on how long they've been teaching? Either the age of the individual or their experience. I mean, if somebody's been a teacher for 35 years, it's going to be a little bit different than somebody who's only known post-COVID.
Yeah.
You know, go back to what was or attempt to achieve. They may never have experienced that before.
Right, right. I think that people who are drawn to teaching see the value of that. And so by default, if they're going to be prospective teachers or the new teachers, there's a reason why they went into that direction. It's because they have this view of teaching and of learning and of students together in this classroom that excites them. And so, yeah, I don't see that big age difference in terms of their attitudes towards.
How about for the kids?
Yeah. Some students, it's a minority of students that just don't want to be in, physically with others, right? But I think innately, most students want to be around other students.
It's part of the human nature.
It is part of human nature.
To be engaged. Mm-hmm. So I'd be curious, is it a self-protection for those that don't feel comfortable in that? Or is it just they're part of that percent that don't?
There's a variety of different reasons, yeah. So our responsibility is to give them options, but also to encourage them to be in healthy relationships with one another. You know, and that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, and if they miss it, they're really not getting the full opportunity maximized.
And the longer they stay away, the harder it is to get back.
That's what I would think. Jumping back in the river after, everybody else is downstream a little bit, mm-hmm. It's tough to catch up.
Yeah.
Are there techniques that are being utilized for those that might have been late to come back to be able to catch up?
Yeah, for sure. And that's where those specialized individuals, the mental health workers, mental health specialists, I should say, your school social workers, your psychologists, your counselors, those are the ones that are assisting the teachers in being able to re-engage students or to support students who may need a little more intervention to be able to come back into the fold.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not easy.
It's not easy.
But it's a desirable goal to have.
Absolutely.
And to attain. Cool stuff. You guys, you're shut down on Monday, next Monday, right?
We are for, yes, Martin Luther King Jr. Birthday.
It's a single day or is it all
single
week?
Day.
Okay.
Yeah, single day.
all I can do is read the reader boards as I drive by the schools.
Well, make sure the eyes are on the road as well, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow. This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.